This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Friday. Woohoo! It's Friday! That sounds good. That sounds nice. Doesn't that sound excellent?
It's the weekend! Baby!
Yes! Let's get your day off to a good start, shall we? Friday morning, I love it. I'm away next week.
You are?
Yes. Oh, please, don't pretend
don't
you didn't
start,
know about
ben.
This. You
don't start.
Oh, what a surprise.
Wow.
Ben's whole world is about you have to warn him 3 years in advance.
Oh.
He's like that grandma you visit in the old age home and you say to her, Granny, it's me, Ben. And she goes,
Lydia, hello. Lydia.
I used to be teased in my family.
Are you Alexandra?
For always needing to know.
Yeah.
Like if the plans changed, mm-hmm. It was like, oh my God, we'd better inform Leanne.
Yeah. Because you get upset if you don't know.
I wasn't informed, I'd say.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but in the context of this joke, like Gareth used to just literally piss off and he'd be like, oh yeah, so I'm not here tomorrow for like 3 weeks. And now, like it's a joke, but now he's like, oh, it's Ben that needs to know. And it's like, no, he used to not give a fuck.
Very important. Got to send Ben a
See,
form
you're doing it again.
In like triplicate.
Here we go.
I need like
ben
a week.
Seven emails.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
He needs to be informed in writing.
It's fine. Gareth must always deflect. Yeah. That's how he deals with things.
No, it was just a dip in communication. Now you two play nicely.
How long have you known?
I've known for a very long time.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yes. This truth has been well informed.
Who's the producer of the show? Sia. He's always well informed.
Yes.
Oh,
I think
Hang on a second, are you really going to play this card?
No, Ben, I'm mediating here, can you let me speak? But Ben just feels like he's not in the loop of communication
bullshit, guys, I didn't
sometimes,
give it to, no, I don't care what you guys do in your own time.
Mm-hmm. But...
last year, and I can't believe you're now going on his side.
No,
where he would just piss off, and you're like, oh, I can't believe Gareth's going again. I'm like, I know, Sia. And now look at you.
No.
Oh,
I'm
ben
not
an
anyone. Okay. Can you guys just go into the corner and play nicely.
Slow it out your ass, both of you.
Listen,
you're always going to make it about someone else. You can't even, you can never take any responsibility.
I'm not here next week, so blow that
bottom
out.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Yes, I know, Gareth. You informed us in good time about this.
Okay, good. So then why are we squabbling, for fuck's sake?
I don't know.
Isn't it ridiculous? Leanne's looking at us like we're all mentally ill.
Not like.
Because in the past, your track record, but heaven forbid we ever bring up a past joke.
Oh, I don't. Please, when have I... Honestly, am I sensitive? Honestly? Come on.
Well, right now, it's
no,
like...
No, you sometimes... Listen, don't we all think this is funny?
Yes.
And
this
people,
is the whole point.
People enjoy it when occasionally we do bring up stuff that irritates all of us because it makes us funnier. And then they go, oh, look... Those morons are just like my family. And like Leanne said, there's always someone in every family who needs to be informed. We've selected you as that person, Ben.
We love you, Ben.
Because you once made a comment.
You can shut your mouth. Jeepers. Turn on me worse than Joseph's coat.
Let me bring my chair closer to you this morning.
Go away.
So, all right, who watched The Bachelor? I had people around for dinner last night.
Didn't you watch it with them?
No, because my brother and sister came down with the kids. It was 7 o'clock. These two people, it's a couple I know, they came over for supper as well. And I had to put the TV on cartoons for the kids. Not that I would have watched. I was having dinner with people anyway. But here's the funny thing, right? My DSTV has this box on it that says, on the screen, that says, blah, blah, blah. You need to go to the website and check something about your details.
Oh, oof.
And so the kids are watching their cartoons through this. There's this message on this. Yeah, it's like an alert. And eventually my sister-in-law figures it out, and she's like, oh, you just reboot the decoder, which is what she did. I had no idea. I mean, this is how seldom my TV gets turned off.
Well, at most, you just turn them off and on again.
Yeah.
Well, it's a general rule of IT.
I know, and it worked.
Yeah.
It really
this is a moment in our culture.
No, I know.
Every Thursday at 7 p.m.
What is with Gord? Because you want to talk about someone who's complaining a lot. I mean, is he participating in this thing at all? Because at least I'm interested in catching up on it. And when we had Jason in here, the host of the show the other day, it was fun talking to him about it. Because
in fairness, Gord's not part of the Friday team, so...
Yeah, maybe that's why he feels a bit left out. But he sent this message. When was it? Yesterday?
Mm.
There's this thing going around.
In between all of our... goings on about The Bachelor.
He says, you have this 3-pound organ in your skull that's so amazing, it literally defies the laws of its own construction, and you use it to watch The Bachelor and be a cunt.
Oh,
sure.
Well then.
Very cross, Gord. I mean,
we do one thing, Gord does the other thing, and that's that message.
But we still continue nonetheless.
Yeah, so what happened?
Well,
What didn't happen?
Was it very dramatic?
Well, basically, the hottest chick got voted off.
And who's that?
Another chick just said, it's not you, it's me.
And which one's the hottest chick who got voted off?
The blonde chick, Chanel. Oh. Who actually, in fairness, she never made an effort to ever speak to him, which I thought was funny.
I don't think she was the hottest there. And that's
why she was great on the show, because she literally never made an effort. She just sat there like, okay, whatever.
Can we have a flash card of how many remain now?
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
it's right there.
7.
No,
eight,
no, no. I mean,
nine,
I need to see
10,
their faces. 11,
12, 13, 13. That's why you've got to access that link that I gave you.
I keep going to that, but because there were 24 at that stage, you scroll quite a bit. We need the ones who are left. Let's just have little laminated flash cards, you know, like I'm a moron, because I am.
They're 13 left.
We should have a wall of bachelorness. We can put a wall up here somewhere.
Yeah, and we can just as they
on the window.
Yeah. And as they go, we can cross them off like.
Well,
you know.
Gareth, you had a good night last night. None of your jizzes got voted off.
Well, remember, I've only got 3 left. So
you're
fine. Zan, Gino, Jenna.
I lost Mbali. She decided she didn't want to be on the show anymore, so she left.
She didn't want to be on the show?
No.
Yeah, okay, she just left.
I'm just not feeling it.
This is how seriously I took it last night. As I was watching, I was actually making notes.
Yeah, I did too, but in pen and pencil. I mean, in paper.
So it started off with a group date at the Rand Club.
They went to the Rand Club.
Weird, but alas, we weren't judging.
It's a beautiful, I'm a member. It's a beautiful
place.
Lovely. You can have some really, really good events there. It's a magnificent space. It's old. It's 100 years old.
But does it say
beautiful
definition of romantic?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a beautiful city building.
But maybe romance isn't the right word, seeing as women only used to come through a certain entrance back in the day there. Yeah. But like, yeah.
Well, unless they
it was
were,
a whole steam.
Unless they were women of the night, in which case they could be, you know, ferreted in
anywhere you want.
Which was ironic because he dressed them up as Woman of the Night for a photo shoot.
Well, it was like a steampunk thing.
Steampunk Victorian era photo shoot.
Someone has to sit me down one day and explain that whole weird obsession, like this Victorian steampunk thing. I do not understand what.
People like fantasy and all that kind of thing.
What is that? Where does it come from?
I have no idea.
Is it movies?
I thought it was a real thing that it existed.
It comes from everything in life.
There was never a steampunk time, by the way. There was never a time where we had technology and we looked like we're in the Industrial Revolution.
You've never heard of steampunk Willy then?
Did Lee have a steampunk Willy or what happened?
Well, he's getting more handsy with the woman now.
Oh, good. That's a good sign.
Yeah, definitely. So it was all based on a photo shoot, and we know that Lee is a part-time model as well, so he was enjoying that. And then all of the girls...
Part-time? He made out like he's full-time.
He says he also owns a gym. And
did he bring up his broken family, his broken home?
40,000 times.
Well, it turns out everyone in the show has got a broken family.
But like I said to Ben, the look at the statistics in South Africa.
Yeah, everyone is from a broken home.
Very good point. So, again, The Bachelor is a snapshot to the society that we live and breathe in.
Listen, if you still have parents who are together and not throwing cutlery and crockery at each other, and they raised you and your siblings, if you have siblings, and none of you have thrown crockery or cutlery at each other in the last couple of months, you really are in the tiniest minority.
Yeah.
No, you might have had that growing up, and now everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what was the line you used on the group when we were talking about this? Because Leanne was saying all of these people are from broken homes, but that reflects South Africa, you know? We've got a country full of people from broken homes.
Mm. And then I said, by the way, I, on the other hand, come from a family of divorce, drugs, adoption, and poverty.
You know, just a nice synopsis.
And enormous dollops of honesty.
Yes.
Okay, so by the way, a broken home, doesn't necessarily just mean that your parents are divorced, because I know people who are happily divorced and the kids are much happier than if their parents were together. So by broken home, you mean there was some kind of – there was a gap for those kids growing up. They felt that they weren't getting what they needed to be competitive.
Yeah.
Or they didn't even know that they weren't getting
exactly.
You know, they didn't know the difference.
But he does bring it up a lot, right?
That's kind
and so
of his
do the
thing.
Girls.
as well. Yeah. So at the Rand Club, they were all doing this photo shoot, and your one of your ladies, Gareth, Jazan.
Yeah, she's feisty, that one.
Look,
she's, yeah, she's making a decent run on the inside track here.
Now imagine that those big skirts. In those Victorian era, she was pulling her skirt up to show
a bit of leg,
her fishnet outrageous stocking, and it actually worked in her favor, because from that scenario, she got a private date with Lee, and that's when the first mention.
Oh, she got a private date.
Well. Before that, though, Lee actually kissed one of the girls, Gareth, and
open mouth.
Yes, during the photo shoot,
she was then pissed off that she didn't get the private date.
Jacqueline. Yes. Jacqueline is a teacher. I think she's Greek.
Portuguese.
Oh. And she had never been on a date thus far. Not a one-on-one date, not even a group date. No. So boozy. She was feeling...
Vagina boozy.
She... And then she broke it down afterwards. Oh, I shouldn't have kissed him in public in front of all the other girls. What are people going to think of me?
Oh, she must just leave that.
I was just over it at that point. Fantastic. I also like the way Lee said, well, maybe the girls are going to come out now. You know, they're in the alarm lot. I think he meant they're in the limelight. Not sure.
The verdict is still out on that one. Yeah.
So, but the girls did come out in the alarm lot. I mean, there was kissing and everything.
Well, do we call it kissing, though?
Yeah, that's the other thing. He does this, and then it's finished. Yeah. That's literally...
What do you want to see? Like a soap opera kiss with a tongue sloshing around the back of the mouth?
Yeah. That's what you get for your back in America with the American bachelors.
Okay, fine. But it's terrifically unhygienic for this guy to go at it. Deep throat kissing with all of these. How many are left? 100?
13.
Exactly.
Please,
like,
man.
I said, 100.
Gareth, I don't
more
care
hygienic,
about that.
Well, less hygienic when you scratch your bum. It doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. No, your mouth is filthier than almost anything else. And if you're dipping it into 13 different chicks and transferring God knows what from what to who, you're...
I've never known a bachelor or bachelorette to get some kind of mouth disease
that's
from all the kissing.
They don't tell you. You look in the credits, there's a doctor there.
There's a syphilis specialist.
I need a slurp. I need a stoop. I need
gonorrhea.
I need more.
And syphilis specialist, Dr. Klatz.
Gonorrhea guidance team.
All right, so his kisses are not satisfactory to you?
No.
They're just three tiny smooches.
Well, it just looks like he's kissing for the sake of kissing.
Oh. But it must be odd. You know the cameras are
on. Of course it's odd, but the thing is, these people are in, they're in this thing. So we can't say, oh, it must be so difficult. No, they're committed.
I'm playing devil's advocate, but I
get it. Well, and they know what they got themselves into.
Yeah.
It's not like they haven't watched The Bachelor before.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
So Mbali couldn't take it all.
Mbali, by the way, is a social media influencer.
Yeah. So she's always going to her shell, ironically.
The gripe.
She was quite graceful about it.
Did we really have to use that analogy?
All right, so who else went? So the pretty blonde one, Mbali, and who else?
That was it.
But there was some scandal during the episode as
well. Bring it on.
While the ladies were sitting in the mansion, minding their own business, Lee sent over some people to work on their manis and pedis. So they're having a bit of spa day at home.
I thought you were about to say Lee sent some guys over to rough them up.
No. They're all meant to be having like this.
This is 1987, Gareth.
All right, you
this
girls.
This isn't what happened at the Rand Club.
I want you to wake up a little.
Sent some old soaks in the Rand Club to go around and for dates over there with a glass of sherry.
It is. We're from the Rand Club.
We need to smile more often.
Generalize you a little. Make you liquor you down.
No, it's 2019.
Huh?
And you can tell that all of this is such, like, these are all, like, produced moments, because it's the contrast between what is meant to be a relaxing day and what actually happens. The little plot was somehow all of the girls just keep journals, of course, now that they're in the house.
God, that is so 1934. Mm-hmm. Keep a journal, Leanne. Do you keep a journal?
No. Very, no.
I don't know any girls
I think
keep
I
a
lasted
journal.
For about 3 days with one in January in the 80s.
So they all keep a journal, huh?
Somehow they all do. And then one of these journals went missing. Uh-oh. Dum, dum, dum. And it was America's journal. Who has America, actually?
Me.
You have America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Leanne. But that girl's annoying. She looks like she's either about to cry or go into violent diarrhea. And her face is not a comfortable thing. She is really uncomfortable.
I can't.
Sorry, Tia. Carry on.
America supposedly wrote something horrible about Jacqueline, and Jacqueline found out, and this is now a whole thing.
But they all run to Lee, okay? He's doing more psychiatry here than anything else.
And he
psychology
comes from a broken home, so he might not be the right guy.
He has to soothe all of these girls and tell them everything's going to be fine.
You see, this
stays busy with it.
What is the line he used? A journal is like your heart on paper.
It's a very South African thing. Everyone takes things so personally, and they're so touchy, and they're so sensitive. Like, I don't like what happened to me. Me. Meanwhile, sorry, sweetheart, but you're on a reality game show, essentially, where you might get turf for no other reason than being something subjective. But now it's your feelings and how he dealt with you. Like,
yeah, but this is what happens when we've had a generation of people who've been told by Oprah that they can be anything and they are anything, and they've got you've got the power. And R. Kelly singing, you know, if you can dream it, you can be it.
Yeah, can we go to R. Kelly, not Mama O, please? My highlight of the episode, though, in conclusion, was Michelle R.
Yeah, I'm sorry to have brought your mother into this.
Yeah,
I apologize.
The big O doesn't have to. Highlights, definitely Michelle R. getting to go on another one-on-one date with Lee.
Yeah, why are you glossing over this? This was a big deal.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
She took Lee's breath away.
Took his breath away. Did he say so?
No, they went to a private hotel suite and they had like this 5-course dinner. And then at the end of the dinner, Lee gives Michelle a gift. She opens up the box.
Hang on a second. Rewind a bit. Uh-huh. I was watching and then suddenly like it just went to commercial when she said, so how do you feel about kids?
Uh-oh. I actually don't remember that, Chris.
No,
remember.
He said, I like kids.
Well, he's got a nephew or a niece.
Gareth?
Sorry, I can't. I start thinking about...
Looking for attention.
No, you know why I started sneezing?
Me.
I started sneezing because you said that he got into this hotel suite with her. Now, I've never booked a hotel suite with any... you book a hotel suite, you don't just go there for dinner. So if there wasn't Rumpy Pumpy after that...
No, Rumpy Pumpy. Well, straight back to the mansion.
Between you, me, and these walls, the hotel chain is the sponsor of the show.
So
there you go. Makes sense.
I see what you're doing. Okay.
And also the gift that was given was also a sponsor of the show. But we move on.
What was the gift?
With diamond earrings to Michelle R.
She was like, holy.
No, come on, it was sweet. No, not sweet to anyone else.
She's kind of the outcast in the house. No one really.
No one
likes her
because she got the first rose and others. But also during The Bachelor, and I've got to say, the production of The Bachelor is amazing.
Mm.
And the ads as well, they're very streamlined to what The Bachelor's about.
Yeah.
So it's actually a bit of a production in every sense of the word. But some of these ads are steamy, like that jewelry advert.
Your perfect match.
I was taking smoke breaks during the ad.
This jewelry advert, everyone's having a go at each other. It's quite something. It's very, very skin on skin.
Ooh.
And this other woman's being followed by a whole bunch of balloons because.
Oh, yes, because she's running to lose weight.
And then your mind wants you to stay fat. There's some very interesting ads during The Bachelor.
Okay, so that Michelle R., I liked her from the first episode. She's cool. I'm looking
Remember,
at the
she got the
now.
First impression rose?
Yeah.
I just love her, but I'd want to see her drunk. Then I'd be able to trust her completely.
You're so right. There has to be an episode where they all get shit-faced. We're talking like pull in box of crackling, nothing fancy, and then we'll see what happens.
Simple.
I reckon
you don't want them to get sick for weeks.
No,
they've got a show to do.
No, but if you go through these people and you add, okay, let's just say you add a bottle of Chardonnay to all of them, I reckon Edith will stab someone, like literally in the neck.
Yeah, to get Lee.
Jeepers, she's
hungry, huh?
She has the most hardcore resting bitch face you've ever seen.
Wow.
Like, I watch the show and I think I'm in trouble just by looking at her.
My favorite is right at the end with the rose ceremony, and every girl is kind of nervous and jittery. Edith is just staring Lee down like, are you going to do this or not? Because you're wasting my time.
Staring him down like he hasn't paid alimony in 6 months. This chick's look is hardcore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. But then when the one who was voted out.
Mbali. Oh, no. There was an...
the rose ceremony out.
Chenille.
Thank you.
On your list, yeah?
Chenille, when she... Usually they get into the car afterwards and they cry to the camera and, oh, my heart's broken and my life's over. But she just said...
No, they do that on Come Dine With Me.
She said, I'm not feeling... What did she say? I'm not feeling sad or heartbroken.
Heartbroken.
So she wasn't sad.
Well,
or
you know, the good news for the girls who are thrown off the show is that they might not get Lee, but there's some other oak who's been watching the show making notes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to wait to meet her at the next party or
all
whatever.
All those wanker bankers are
sure
queuing up his
sense. Oh, for sure. I mean, all she has to do is walk through like R&B, but and then she'll pick up like 15 of these oaks, and she can play her own version of the Bachelor.
Well, that's Baron how it happens. That's how it happens. There's like a favorite. They do a vote thing. So one of these bachelorettes now will become the bachelorette.
Oh.
See.
But wow, guys.
And then the guys who enter already know about her because they watched her on the show. And they're like, you were my favorite, and I've been dying to meet you, and you're the type of girl. You're my girl. And that's why they enter, because they like that girl.
I checked this chick on the Bachelor. She was voted off last night. I guess this. I'm fucking impressed.
Oh, see, I'm not looking forward to the Bachelorette South Africa.
Right there, yes,
South African
good
guys aren't romantic. You see, then you'll have to
it's
deal with that.
It's going to be gross. They're going to be blixing each other in the pool area.
It'll be
so awkward.
The Bachelorette is walking up to the car with her date, thinking the door will be open for her.
Like, get in. What you waiting for? Get in. We late.
You drive, I'm tired.
We late.
We late.
Not we are late.
Or we are late.
We late.
No. At least our ladies are civilized. Guys, oh.
What's that Bennett doing wasting time?
How long did it take to get ready, eh? I'm like four beers down.
Did you brush your hair?
No.
Where'd you get that dress from outside the Grand?
No, I'm not looking forward to that.
It's going to be hilarious. So, I mean, the girls at least are South African women, by, you know, the standards of like Europe, are not refined at all. There are exceptions, obviously. I'm not blanketing all. But the men, yo, don't expect any of them to have ever read any meaningful literature. Like, you're dead in the water. If you think they know which finger a wedding ring belongs on, that's a whole other debate. It'll take you 3 years to get them conscientized too. So get ready, girls. That's going to be fun. Anyway, so if you see any of these girls now, are they fair game? I mean, we got a lot of men who listen to us. They might be,
they must be
hard up.
Yeah, they must be. Well, look, you've got
if you one, see Jazan or Chanel or no, I'm talking about the ones who are off. So Jazan's still in. So if you see Chanel now in town, you can make a go of it. You can be like, as it, babe, I saw you on that Bachelor. You look hot. Yarr, come, let's have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that?
That guy doesn't know what he was losing, eh?
Oh, you're so special, eh, babe? And I'm not from a broken home. So I'm better than him anyway. Watch.
But that's actually so funny. If any of these girls go on dates, it's like they've got ammo already. They've made notes.
Oh.
They know exactly what to say. They'll be like dating the same person because they all have the script.
Yeah. And, you know, guys are big on that info. I mean, I know people who, like, go on the internet and they do a Facebook profile search.
Instagram. You have
They'll to. Go back thousands of Instagram pictures back to check everything so that they can, you know, say to the girl, I checked you really into the color orange.
You have to. But the key is also not to make it sound like you've already done it.
Well, we've had lots of practice.
Don't you love orange?
Not that either.
No, it's too direct. Yes, but that's a beautiful that vase there on that mantelpiece is orange.
See, okay. Now you're onto it. I know it sounds so bad and corny, and I digress, but I've done that so many times on dates. Oh yes,
you do some research.
I go onto your Facebook profile.
Yeah, that's what
and, you
I wanted
know,
to say.
Facebook, you can like your favorite movie and you like your favorite book, and I'll sit at the table.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, in the past,
and
people
I'll
do that.
Oh, my God.
People do that in the past. Nowadays, people don't do that background stuff.
They don't have time. They've only got a Tinder window of like.
Nope.
Tinder window.
No, it is. It's a Tinder window. All right. If I get my pants off now, then we can be out of here and you can be back with your actual boyfriend by like 20
past. Nasty people.
Oh, my car's just outside. We don't have to go to a hotel. It's too much work. My car's got a big back seat, babe. Let's go.
Gross.
Because I checked you were thrown off in like the second episode of The Bachelor, so you're not that great.
That's what we have to look forward to.
If you got out in episode 5, 6, okay, fine enough. Fair, you know, fair. Because you were something. But like in episode 2, no, man. You hardly made an impact.
Who needs Romeo when you have Ruan?
Yeah, watch. Watch. Jason. I'm telling you, it's around the corner. That's going to be exciting. We'll have to get into that one too. All right, so that's the Bachelor discussion for this morning. I mean, we could go on all day. But we do have to make some headway into some other things. You want to hear the five things you need to know this morning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure? You didn't get a very convincing yes from Sia.
Yes.
Okay, good. King Goodwill Zwelithini's royal budget is? Do you think it's going down or up? Do you think he's going to cost us more or less? And by the way, remember that this is the king of the Zulu people. Now, there is no reason in the world why someone who's Tswana or Afrikaans or colored in the Cape has to pay for the Zulu king. It should be the Zulu people's expense. It's their king. He does absolutely sweet fuck all for the colored people of Mitchell's Plain, or for the Afrikaans people of Potchefstroom, or for the Tswana people of Mahikeng. Nothing, right? I know Sia's very touchy about this because it's his king.
Yes, because...
Your king. Your king should not cost the Xhosas money. But he does.
He should not be costing me money.
So he's going to cost us an extra 9 million. Come on, Sia, you've got to contribute a little bit to your king.
Okay.
If you want to be a Zulu, let him uphold the traditions and... Mm-hmm. You know, if you're English, you have to pay for your queen.
Gareth, I actually wouldn't have too much of a problem with all this money going to him if you were to, say, set up a university or schools for all these girls
can't afford that
go through his keep.
He's busy organizing a reed dance.
Yeah, because he needs another wife.
Yes.
You know, if there was like a reed dance scholarship where at least 10 of those girls got university education.
Why would he want to do that? Then they're not going to take off their tops.
That's true, yeah.
Look, every single year we need I think he was hardware quoting, updates.
In fact, let me just read the
he
last...
He needs a wife update.
In his State of the Province thing, he said once, problem with girls who go to university is they stop taking off their tops at a certain... So that's the problem.
Wow. We always have a statement ready and waiting.
So here he is. I just pulled that straight out of his last speech. So as KwaZulu-Natal's treasury continues to trim the fat within the provincial fiscus, in line with the finance minister Tito Mboweni's austerity measures, Zulu King Goodwill Zwelithini's royal household budget will see an estimated increase of 9 million rand over the next 3 years, bringing his overall budget allocation to, ka-ching, 75 million rand. It's not small money.
Sure.
KwaZulu-Natal Finance MEC Belinda Scott delivered the provincial budget for the medium-term expenditure in the legislature in Pietermaritzburg on Thursday afternoon. Over 130 billion has been allocated in the fiscus for that budget period, right? The budget for the king has become a sticking point over the years, with an outcry for what the money is used for in the face of tough economic challenges. The budget for the king comes from the Premier's office. Scott declined to give clarity on how increments are calculated. We can let you know how much the royal household budget is, but you'll need to direct those questions and how the budget is determined on the royal household to the Honourable Premier. So we've got a little bit of shadiness there in terms of what the money gets spent on. But it could be, you know, could be nice things for the King's house for all you know.
It's probably just pay off his debt at Joshua Dore from the 90s.
You Ben!
Just so suck it in there by the uncle in the furniture business.
Benjamin.
Just old wall oak units.
Put some respect on his name, please.
So bad.
Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg said on Wednesday that the company would encrypt... I'm still thinking about Joshua Dore death from
you
the 90s.
You're an uncle in the furniture business. Joshua Dore.
That cabinet was a waste. Poor King Goodwill. All right, Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg said on Wednesday the company would encrypt conversations on more of its messaging services and make them compatible. The latest sign that the world's biggest social network sees its future in intimate online chats. Well, you son of a bitch. I always assume that when I'm talking to Sia on the phone, it's just Sia and I in that conversation. If I send Leanne a message on Facebook, it's just Leanne and I having that conversation. I don't assume that you're going to be listening in, you lizard. You would think, right?
With his tongue by the earpiece to actually get the conversation in.
Jesus. So Zuckerberg said in a post on his Facebook profile, this is how he makes announcements these days, within a few years, direct messaging would dwarf discussion on the traditional open platform of Facebook's newsfeed, where public posts can go viral across the world. Working towards implementing an End-to-end encryption for all private communications is the right thing to do, said Zuckerberg. He cautioned the details of the plan could change as the company consults experts this year. The strategy could frustrate law enforcement surveillance efforts as well as lawmakers who've called on Facebook to better moderate user content. Well, listen, a lot of people will say, for example, well, what if we can monitor terrorists having conversations on Facebook, or we can monitor, you know, murderers, their conversations with the person they murder.
Mm.
But actually, you don't know what conversation Oscar and Reva had in the bathroom, because there's no way to access that. So just because there's a Facebook that can access that doesn't mean you should access that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a private conversation. It's got nothing to do with law enforcement. And I would rather, and I'm sure most of us would, I would rather that we have our own privacy and discretion honored than have access given to foul, disgusting governments and their agencies who want to spy on us and use that information probably against us. If I sit in a room, there are no surveillance devices, no phones. I went to the U.S. Embassy on Monday. They don't let you take a phone into the building. You have to leave it in the car or lock it up as you walk in. You don't take it in. So I go into a room and I say to Leanne, okay, Leanne, we've got to talk about this, and we have a serious conversation about something important. Nobody else should ever hear that conversation. She remembers a version of it. I remember a version of it. That's it. Get out of there. And if there's something about that law enforcement need to know later on, tough. It's gone.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. So Zuckerberg's only just starting to realize, oh, it might be wrong for us to, you know, gather information on people behind closed doors and without their knowledge. Only now it's this lizard. It's taken him that long to figure it out. R. Kelly's girlfriends have accused their manipulative parents about lying for money. Listen to this. Two women who say they're in a relationship with R. Kelly. Two women are in a relationship with him.
At the same time.
Defended him despite criminal allegations that he sexually assaulted teenage girls. And in a tearful interview that was broadcast on Thursday, accused their own parents of trying to extort money from the performer. The parents of the two women, Azriel Clary and Jocelyn Savage, say their daughters, 21 and 23, have been brainwashed by R. Kelly. They are 21 and 23. He is 52.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crying, says the one, because you guys don't know the truth. Clary said as she sobbed during the interview with CBS. Clary called her father manipulative and accused her parents of telling lies for money. Another way she can see her father being manipulative, but she's unable to see R. Kelly being manipulative. Anyway,
her father's not a celebrity.
Look, I'm sure that R. Kelly chooses these girls because they're of a certain psychological profile, and he realizes he can manipulate them. So they're so stupid, they don't realize they're being manipulated twice. If you can't see that, you are ignorant and stupid, she said. Well, count me in. Kelly, who was in the room during the women's interview, of course he was sitting right there, leering, glowering at them across the room. You remember what I told you? You remember to say what I told you? If you don't say it right, I ain't going to give you no more money. Tell everybody what we did. Kelly, who was in the room during the interview, pleaded not guilty last month to charges. So he set these poor girls up to go and say this because he knows how badly the Gayle King interview went. Son of a bitch. And there's always someone dumb enough to stand up for your dumb story if you pay them, or if you force them, or you coerce them.
Or, if they're still just enamored by you.
Yeah, I mean, you're a celebrity and these girls have got, this is their one shot, right? When did you ever hear these names before? Before today? Never. And will you ever hear them afterwards? Probably not.
No.
This is amazing. You know, I love these stories, but I wish they wouldn't separate them. Conjoined twins have returned home after life-saving surgery in Australia. Now, they're separate people. Hate this.
Why don't you?
Because the circus needs people, too.
Wow.
What's wrong with you? Don't you realize this is why people are watching The Bachelor in their droves? Because the circus shut down. Ben brought this up the other day. It wasn't in respect to The Bachelor, but something else.
Yes, but these twins would have died if they didn't have the surgery.
No, nonsense. There were some that lived to a ripe old age in the circus. Go back and look.
Old age of 22?
I don't know their name. The one with the head joining, and then the one with the hips joining, and then there's the one with the leg joining.
But
I don't know
like
what their names were.
Ripe old age of 22.
Lou and Sue. They always give them Ping and Ying and Yam and Spam. They always give them names like that. LinkedIn.
Don't enable this by law.
Don't you know? Come on. Don't you all pretend to be high and mighty and politically correct now. I know you all like that stuff. You can't wait to, you want to know where they, remember there was that movie.
You started two sentences that
I'm
you
so
didn't.
I'm so excited. But now they've separated these fucking twins.
But
it's
also
so upsetting.
In an age where this is a massive benefit for them, like, keep it going. You'll, the perks.
What are the
this
perks?
Was, live everyone, life like that. Come on, guys.
Everyone's trying to be an individual. Be an individual's. That's what I say. Put that on a fucking fridge magnet.
I don't want to laugh.
Their chances of getting a TV show are so much slimmer now.
Yes. So two Bhutanese conjoined twins who traveled to a typical Australia separated them. The Bhutanese would have known better.
So many rules, Australia. Can't have conjoined heads. Jeepers.
It's not fair to the other kids who aren't joined at the head.
Yeah.
We'll have to socialise this. We'll have to turn it into a proper equal system and separate them. Anyway, so they returned home this week. Nima and Dawa, along with their mother Bumchu, arrived.
What?
Bumchu. Which part of Bumchu did you not understand, Sia?
So Nima and Dawa and their mother Bumchu arrived in Bhutan on Thursday. This charity that funded this was called the Children First Foundation. To all Australians, this is Bumchu, the mother. To all Australians near and far who sent me their love and support. You all gave me hope and put a smile on my face while I was going through some terrible times. I just want to say you guys are awesome. Well, let's ask the kids. You didn't ask them, did you? You didn't check with Nima and Dua.
If Bumchu stayed in Australia, she might get sued for this. She probably told them what the genders are going to be, too.
Probably. Anyway, there's nothing better in any operation than be able to go to the parents and say, we've been able to look after your child, said the doctor, Joe Cremieri. He's the head of pediatric surgery. Head, because they were joined at the head. That's funny, because he was the head of pediatric
surgery. Otherwise, they would have used the hip of pediatric surgery.
That's right. That's right. And they've got some pictures of when they were still joined. I think they looked much happier. Just my opinion.
Happier when they were joined.
Well, I thought they looked like they were much happier. But you know what? Who might have? I'm not the head of pediatric surgery.
You aren't Bumchu either.
No. None of my business. And apparently many parents of past pupils have told News 24 that allegations of corporal punishment at Pal Boys High are true.
Well, how else are you going to get a good rugby team? Oh. You've still got to put some of the kids.
Oh, my gosh. What?
Let's all get a participation trophy when the teacher shouts at us rather than just get jacks from the headmaster. I used to choose jacks every time.
I didn't have a choice.
And headmaster would blixum you. And then you walk out of his office and you go, yes, us, to your friend. And you get back to the classroom and your friend and you would say, fuck, I'm still sore. And you'd like make a little notch in your tie.
What is the notch in the tie?
Because like, you'd pull a thread out of your tie every time you got jacked. So some oaks were walking around without a tie.
Yeah, they were. It was just it's like these little slivers of black silk left.
It was a thing. We were so, like, it was a talking point for a week. Yeah, Cliff got smacked. Why? What did he do? Oh, he back-chatted the teacher.
And you'd have welts on your ass for months.
Yeah. And you know, I'd get home and I'd say to my parents, got jacks today. My dad go, yeah, you probably deserved more than you
my
got.
Yeah, my mum would do the same. Yeah. We used to, the girls were hit on the hands.
Yeah. Smashed on the hands of
the
ruler.
And look at us now. Such well-adjusted, nice people.
And I had a big Bible thrown at me.
What? You got a Bible thrown at you?
Yes, I was talking during religious instruction.
C has never been hit in his life.
No.
He would consider that egregious.
Oh, Ben! So dramatic.
Ben just lurched and smashed.
It would have been more so if you'd walked into a door frame. Still clutching at his arm.
Ow. And Ben thinks this is great. He's smiling like a
Ben,
mongoloid.
You're such a all boy.
Right. Listen, we've got to move on. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. Bitcoin, if you care. I don't know, who cares? Let's get to Ben. Here's the sport. Go ahead, Ben.
Great news for Netball South Africa. Man City could be in some trouble over financial funny business.
Mm-hmm.
And a big weekend of Six Nations and Super Rugby awaits. Yes, Netball World Cup 2023 is coming to Cape Town. There was a big bid. It was either Auckland or Cape Town, and Cape Town did it.
Ooh. How many people were in the room? I mean,
hundreds, Gareth.
Oh, lies.
Absolutely hundreds. Lies. This was a huge event. The Cape
there
Town,
were more people at Bum Chew's return to Bhutan.
Western Cape government has pledged a lot of infrastructural support and investment into this. So by 2023, we'll have even more people playing netball in this country. Netball's a huge sport. I think it's definitely in the top three when it comes down to participation. So now to have the Netball World Cup in 2023, an even greater boost for this. Because if kids are playing sport, well, they're not doing crime.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's completely true, but I'm going with
it. Well, knife crime.
There's a very good chance that if you've got to play for your team, you're not going to go commit a crime.
Okay.
So I think it's always a good thing. So well done. And also, screw you, Auckland. Glad all we right. beat those Kiwis at something.
Very
and
good.
Also, it's kind of nice that we finally won, like, a bid. We've been bidding for sporting events. Everyone looks at us and goes, oh, South Africa. No.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But now we've won something. Yes, it's netball, you say, but still, it's better than nothing. Yeah, take that. Crickets. Well, it is 2 months, 22 days, and 4 hours until the ICC 2019 Cricket World Cup in England.
Mm.
Who's excited?
No. But then I don't. It takes a lot
it's
to
just
get
you,
me
Ben,
excited.
I'm afraid.
I don't mind if it's just me.
I'm still recovering from my wound. Sorry.
Well, I tell you what. It's the same format as back in 1992, where the 10 best teams in the world play each other, and then we get a semi and a final. I'll be releasing a video around this later this afternoon where I can tell you exactly how excited I am and who should be in the Proteas squad.
All
right. I tell you what's happening at the moment, of course, is the domestic league, the Momentum One Day Cup. Now, many people will probably care about this like Gareth does, as in they won't. But this is where a lot of players are still trying to push themselves into that World Cup team. Now, JP Duminy is such a player. He scored a pretty effortless 62 yesterday, so all the JP Duminy haters out there. He also bowled 7 overs, he opened the bowling, and got a wicket for a decent return on the runs. But the hero of yesterday's game, Akona Mnyaka.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy, he's younger than Sia. He's 19.
Oh!
He's 19 years old, okay? He'd just been absolutely hammered in his last few overs. He had to defend 7 in the last over. Dwayne Pretorius well set at the crease. This guy has to defend 7 to make his team the Cobras win. He got 3 wickets in that last over. The Cobras won. Dwayne Pretorius on 99 needed a 4 of the last ball. And that was it. Bowled out. So the Proteas won. Sorry, the Cobras won that one. Huge, huge event. So if you are looking for some cricket in the background, this Momentum One Day Cup is still going on. I know there's absolutely zero people in the stands, but there's many reasons for why. But still, this is really good cricket. As in, like, today, the Warriors are taking on the Titans, and that means that Aidan Markram gets another chance to try and urge his bid for the World Cup to maybe be even stronger. And he scored 200s in his last 2 games. So this is all very, very important. And I think it's about 4 weeks' time or 6 weeks' time where the actual squad gets announced. Because there's only 3 ODIs left for the Proteas. Of course, they are playing Sri Lanka right now. And they are 2-0 up in that series. Sri Lanka, I'm not entirely sure what they did in the last match, but they looked like they just didn't want to actually win the game. But yeah, this weekend we'll be back in action with that one. If I can just get this fucking screen to open.
Oh, having technological difficulties.
I'm having a challenge with this screen.
Having a challenge.
So today, no, I lied. Sunday. Sunday is the 10th, right?
Well, make up your mind.
Guys, yes, I'm going to go with Sunday
is the
10th. Yeah. Okay, in Durban, there
can't
you go.
Just change the calendar. You're not Julius Caesar.
You're not Gregorian.
I'm like cricketing Jesus. 10 o'clock, Sunday, in Durban. SA versus Sri Lanka. If SA win this one, they win the series. But it's all about trying to experiment with the team's composition and players. Of course, can the batting get it right? Now, after that, it'll be in PE and then in Cape Town. So there's still a chance for you to go watch the Proteas and One Day Cricket. Oh, that was a bit of a mouthful. Anyway, on to football. Football, football. It's the world's biggest game. And if you're Man City, well, you just want to win at all costs. So there's some accusations going around, and UEFA are actually opening investigation into financial fair play rules, of which Man City seem to be maybe on the wrong side of things. Now, a while back, they were found guilty of some financial fair play, and they were fined 60 million euros.
60 million euros? They were fined that much?
They were fined 60 million euros.
That's as much as the best player in the PSL in South Africa will ever get.
Over how many lifetimes? You mean all the players?
All of them.
Every single guy tying up laces, yes, yeah. Correct. So they were fined 60 million euros and they were subject to squad wage and spending caps.
Shit.
back then. But they obviously just paid it and went on with their ways. But people are saying that what they're doing is they're setting up these sort of like dodgy sponsorship deals, which is then bringing in more money to the club, but they don't actually exist. And they've got all of Abu Dhabi's money as well. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of investigative journalism going around the subject. You can go for days about how Abu Dhabi is actually really, really dodgy, and they're basically using Man City, just like Qatar's using Paris Saint-Germain. Same thing. It's trying to get some goodwill in football. Meanwhile, the human rights violations at home are horrendous, and they are just creating these financial unfair play things. So Pep Guardiola, who draws a salary from Man City, naturally comes up and says this is all horseshit, and that they're open to any investigation because they are totally innocent, blah, 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 blah. So interesting to see how that goes, because if they get found guilty, they won't be able to play Champions League. UEFA will just say, you can't play in our tournaments.
Yeah, well.
Which is a big deal, because there's a reason why people buy into these clubs and put bajillions in there. It's because they want to become Champions League title people.
Yeah.
Now, Paris Saint-Germain, who've been having money fed in there by Qatar for years.
I mean, flying via Qatar.
Oh.
So I have no idea what to expect.
It's a tough week, seeing as Paris Saint-Germain bottled it again in the Champions League this week.
Somehow,
I mean, Gord's a Man United fan. On Wednesday, he said there's no chance these guys are going to lose.
Yeah.
But they somehow blew a 2-0 away aggregate, and they lost to Man United. Yeah. So Paris Saint-Germain out again.
Shocking.
And they're still under investigation for their financial unfair play stuff, and they might have to sell Mbappe or Neymar or both just to kind of be back in the good books. But anyway, different story for a different day. Let's move on to what's actually happening on the field this weekend. And, well, Crystal Palace, there's the big game there, 2:30 versus Brighton. No, it's not a big game, of course not. But bigger games are Southampton hosting Spurs at 5 on Saturday, and then Man City, with all their money and all their power and all their influence and all their players, will be hurting Watford around 7:30 on Saturday. Sunday's matches are a lot bigger. Liverpool versus Burnley, Chelsea versus Wolves, and Arsenal will be disappointing one more time against Man United. Arsenal were in the midweek Spurs UEFA League this last week, yesterday, and they lost to Rennes, I think. I thought that was a travel agent. Meanwhile, they actually beat Arsenal 3-1. And Man United, well, they've had a hell of a week. Obviously, like I said, beating PSG and going through in the Champions League. So both teams will be a little bit buggered, let's be honest. The players have had to travel, and it's tough when you have to pick yourself up after a big midweek thing like this.
The hell was that?
Sorry, Leanna, you're watching 80s music videos.
I don't know where it came from. Sorry.
Yeah, boredom for sport, that's where it came from. The PSL. Now, that's also very, very exciting. The top teams aren't in action, which means that teams like Chiefs and Wits can get back up there. Chiefs are playing Maritzburg United at 6 on Saturday, and AmaZulu will be hosting Wits same day, 8:15. Mm-hmm. And then Sundowns will be playing on Tuesday. We'll get to that on Monday. Let's just wrap this up, shall we? Rugby. We all know it's a big sport this time of year. Well, most of the year, actually, because they just get run into the ground to these players because of, well, just greedy administrators. Rugby season used to be a season, now it's just the rugby year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, today, Hurricanes versus Highlanders, 8:35. Big one right there. Rebels versus the Brumbies at 10:45. And then Saturday sees the Crusaders versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been dicked by basically everyone so far. And I think playing against top team Crusaders, this is going to get messy. It's 6:15 Saturday morning, if you're interested. The Blues will host the chipper Sunwolves. I mean, the Sunwolves are doing well. They're their first win in New Zealand. So they'll be 8:35 in Auckland, where the Netball World Cup in 2023 will not be hosted because Cape Town won that. And then the Waratahs versus the Reds at 10:45. Then the Lions will be taking on the Haggawath at Ellis Park with a very different team. Some people are saying that it's the end of an era for the Lions team. Well, we think we know that already. But the coach, Swayze, is having a bit of a clean of house there. So some new faces in that starting lineup. What will it do? Well, you can find out at 3:05 on Saturday.
Yes,
so it always seems like the Lions are always kind of, they're going to not exist. There's always this threat.
No, Leanne, you can take that back. You have absolutely no grounding in that statement.
Yeah, exactly.
They've
How
been our best
you?
Team for the last 4 years.
What's wrong with you?
Stop pulling a gourd.
Weren't they relegated at
long
one
time
stage?
Ago. Yes. Long
so
time
they're
ago.
Back and healthy.
So Leanne doesn't forgive them for those years.
No. They've been in the final of Super Rugby for the last 3 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
There we
How
go.
How much do you know?
Well, you see, I'm learning.
And then the Bulls versus the Sharks. That'll be at 5:15 in Pretoria.
When?
And Pretoria.
Pretoria.
Pretoria. Pretoria. Yeah, that's about it. I don't think there's too much else. Six Nations, obviously, is the last thing we can touch on. Scotland versus Wales at 4:15 on Saturday. And how did that happen? My computer's having a massive challenge today.
Ooh.
And England versus Italy at quarter to 7, but the big game is on Sunday, of course. Ireland versus France at 5. Ireland will believe they still have a chance of winning this, but no, it's not going to happen. I think Wales are the team to beat, and currently they are top of the log. But next weekend will be the final weekend of Six Nations, and that's when we'll have a lot more interest in this. That's your sport for your Friday.
Thank you, Ben. Over to Sia.
Ah, folks, do you just want your good old good news story?
Sure, of course, it's Friday. Go on.
So sweet. So currently in the state of New Jersey in the United States, they're having quite a lot of heavy snowfall happening. Yeah. And knowing this, a community within there are two brothers, Brian and Patrick Lanigan, immediately thought of their neighbor who's currently going through dialysis and has to have dialysis every single day. They thought about how are they going to make it out of their house.
So they loaded them on a truck?
No. Well, they helped out in a different way. Uh-huh. So Brian already is an EMT, and the last time there was heavy snowfall, he was in the middle of his route, and he actually stopped by the neighbor's house to clear her driveway so that she could actually drive
out. These are really good people to have next door.
Like an EMT and then also clearing the driveway. And so it just happened that this time Brian really wasn't able to. So asked his younger brother Patrick to help out. And because there's such heavy snowfall happening, Patrick actually ended up calling around the neighborhood, and actually four different young people from his high school ended up saying, yes, we'll come over, we'll help. And they actually woke up at 4:30 every single day for the past couple of days to go over next door and just clear the driveway so that their neighbor, Natalie Blair, could be able to drive to dialysis.
Well, tell you what,
is that not something?
That's good neighborliness. If Sia's neighbors even needed sugar, they wouldn't know.
Miss me. I'm not that person. But they've been doing this for the past couple of days, literally waking up at 4:30 in the morning, clearing the driveway, all four of these young people from their high school, and being able to help their neighbor out. This all just came to the fold through Twitter, because their father, who only has 33 followers, by the way, just posted up this picture saying how proud he is of his sons and his friends being able to do this. And the tweet has gone viral ever since. Their father, Peter, has just been able to say that, you know, this act of kindness was not at all out of character for his son and their friends, and described them as small kids with big hearts. And I think this is just so simple, so true, and just so sweet. Being very able nice. To help where you can.
Awesome.
That's your advice for this morning.
Thank you very much, Sia. Thank you, Ben. Okay, messages. Anushka says, hey guys, I think we need to have a reality show with divorcees. One divorced guy and lots of crazy divorced ladies. That would be fun.
That's clever. That'll be just turbo.
But that's just like being at Billy the Bums.
Yeah. But get the production team in there, boys.
three.
And obviously you host it at a golf estate.
Oh, well, isn't that where all of them live anyway? Right, that's perfect. That's a good idea. Michelle says, your idea for the Bachelorette, and you know how well-mannered South African men are.
Yes.
The Bachelorette in South Africa will be the guy in the car hooting for her to hurry out.
Come on! Beep, beep, beep! Yeah. Come on!
so romantic, South African men. You ladies do so well to have us.
Aren't you so lucky?
Aren't you lucky? It's great. It's the best. All right, so your day's hopefully off to an excellent start. We are here to look after you. You can call us on 0861-555-189, and we'll get your day going properly. All right, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Leanne Moll. We got lots of news and other things that we want to talk to you about in the next bit. It is Friday morning. What's going on? Sia's music in the background there still.
This is CliffCentral.com.